was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
Don't really have a wireless mic right now, so you have to let me get comfortable before I start. I feel like I should start out speaking today with transparency. When I was handed these verses about 2 months ago, I was extremely disappointed. I find this story very insignificant. In fact, growing up, when I would hear this story, I was very confused why it was included in the Gospels compared to a lot of the other healing stories that Jesus has in synagogues or around other Jewish leaders. I would see this story, and I just didn't feel like it was very important. I'm also a rule follower and a very black and white thinker and a logical person. And hearing this argument, I was like, this makes a whole lot of sense to me. And I was lamenting about this and complaining about this to Steve about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And he, in a very Steve fashion, listened to my whole argument and me saying, I don't really understand why this is that important and why it was included. And after I got done speaking and giving all of my complaints, he looked at me and he said, "I'm going to guess that it wasn't insignificant to the woman." And like he usually is, he was right. And this is a very significant story, specifically to this woman. And the more that I sat with and the more that I studied and the more that I let these words speak to my life, one of the things that came up that I actually think comes up a lot for people at first glance when they start reading this story is they get lost in the synagogue leader and they miss the forest for the trees. And so today we are going to dive deeper into what I think has been given to me and where I think Jesus is really sitting and shining through with a very significant word for us within this story. So if you'll pray with me before I start. Father God, I pray that you pour the gift of preaching through me. May all the minds and hearts and ears be open to what you have to say. And may your spirit rest thick on each person sitting in this place. So this story begins on the Sabbath. And Jesus, in very Jesus fashion, is in a synagogue and he is teaching. And being the Sabbath and in a Jewish culture, lots of people are at synagogue, correct? And they are there and they are taking a day off from work, just like their scripture and their rules have commanded them to do. And so Jesus is in there and he is teaching and there's lots of people that have come to hear him teach. Probably specifically come to hear Jesus teach. There's also a lot of Pharisees and Jewish synagogue leaders that are among the crowd on this day of Sabbath. And so Jesus is there and he is teaching, and among the people, there is a woman who has come, probably like she is commanded, like she's following the rules, to synagogue on Sabbath. There's a lot of significant things about this woman that I actually kind of think set her apart from other healing stories that we find in the Bible. One is she comes in and she is not making a beeline for Jesus. In fact, when you read the scripture, Jesus makes a beeline for her. Or at least he signals her out in the crowd and says, "Woman, come over here." And so Jesus, while he is teaching, sees this woman and takes great compassion on her. And she is not coming and falling at Jesus' feet or trying to touch his garments or get within his presence because she thinks that healing is going to come. She's just coming because she is supposed to. And so Jesus calls her out, asks her to come over, and he says, "You are healed," and then lays his hand on her, and immediately she stands up straight. And what we know from these verses is she has been stooped over. Her body has been disfigured for a long time, 18 years. I really tried to put myself in this woman's spot to envision and maybe feel what it felt like to have that deformity for over 18 years, being stooped over and only being able to see people's feet, to see the ground, to have dust kicked up in my eyes, to have to crane my neck over to look people in the eyes, to walk into a room and to stick out significantly, that I couldn't go anywhere in public without people drawing attention to me, looking at me sideways, probably ignoring me. This woman's most likely lived in some isolation and at the very least feeling like an outsider to everyone else being able to walk right up, straight up. So I really can't even fathom what that would look like or feel like for Jesus to place his hands on me from being stooped over for 18 years and immediately my whole body stands up straight. And then what I love next in the story is she immediately starts praising God. And then this is where the synagogue leader comes in. If you've read stories in other gospels and even read more above these verses, this is not the first time that a Jewish synagogue leader has called Jesus out. And so I'm going to just assume that there were some people waiting around for Jesus to mess up or for him to do something that they could call him out on. And this is what this leader does. And so immediately he sees this and he goes over and starts kind of talking to the crowd of, really? Could you not have waited 24 more hours? You have broken the rules of the Sabbath. Two things go through my head when I read this part. One is, yes, this makes a lot of sense to me. There are very clear rules. You can probably read that in Jewish scriptures. And Jesus has gone against these very black and white, very logical, very open and traditional rules in scripture. The second thing that I thought about is I wonder is as these words are leaving this leader's mouth, does he know how dumb they sound? I don't know if you've ever been in that position, but I sure have, of where I'm speaking and the words that are leaving my mouth, I'm like, oh no, this is not going to make sense or bode well at the end. And so he says all of this, and then Jesus speaks back. You hypocrite, do you not take your ox and your donkey and untie them and do work to lead them to water? Do you not show compassion on your animals on the Sabbath? And how much more important is this daughter of Abraham than your ox? You hypocrite. Something very significant about the daughter of Abraham translation in this part of scripture is it is the only time in the Old or New Testament do you find daughter of Abraham. He very specifically gave her a name and said, she is one of us. She belongs. She is significant. I think it's easy to highlight the controversy between Jesus and the synagogue leader right here. And it's very easy to overlook the great compassion and power that Jesus displayed to the people. Jesus knew the rules. He had studied them since he was little. He had been teaching and preaching since he was 12. Jesus knew the rules. Jesus also knew that compassion is higher. It is holier. It is maybe worth breaking some of the rules for. Also, Jesus picked this woman out. He signaled her out. He let his compassion move into doing. He didn't just look across the room and say, "Oof, I really feel sorry for this person." He looked across the room and took compassion and said, "I'm going to walk over and offer healing with my touch and with my presence." Jesus recognized compassion as holy, and the leader missed this. He couldn't see the forest for the trees. He got stuck in right and wrong and having to follow all the rules. That sounds like living in chains to me. And Jesus, through action and through word, said there is a different way to be. This also calls me back to a story in Mark. Mark 2, where Jesus and his disciples are walking along the road, and they are picking heads of grain and popping it to their mouth, and they're eating. And some leaders come along and call Jesus' disciples on this and say, "Look, you are performing work on the Sabbath." And Jesus very clearly says, the Sabbath is made for the people, not the people for the Sabbath. You want to know why I think this story kind of bothers me? One of the parts maybe that I don't want to talk about is I work on the Sabbath. I go and see clients on Sundays. I've done that for several years. And so maybe when I see this story a little bit, there's like a piece of my rule-following heart says, I am breaking a rule. And really when I go back to Mark and I look at this, is the Sabbath is holy. There should be rest in our life. That pleases God. Not to work all the time, but to take care of yourself. I think that is where those verses are going to, is keep this holy rest. Set aside time, not only to come and worship as a body, but to take care of yourself. But I don't think you have to become enslaved to that and have it so lined up that you miss people or miss healing and compassion in the middle of that. And so, yes, I think this woman could have waited 24 more hours to be healed. I don't think she would have died or it would have been that much life-changing for 24 hours to have gone by. But Jesus saw her. He had compassion. And he moved into action and let healing be the choice in that moment. I really want my presence and how I live my life and the choices that I make to exude love and compassion and Jesus's reflection first, and not judgment and rule following and the way that it is supposed to or should be. I miss people when I do that, and I get stuck in a place that I do not think God intended for us to be. I think Jesus has laid his hands on us and stood us upright and said, "Go in my name and be my image bearer and show compassion and love to my people, the sons and daughters of Abraham." And what a beautiful place to be right now, sitting around tables with this bread and this juice symbolizing Jesus' body and this great sacrifice that he is walking towards, right? He is walking towards the cross and saying, there's a new way to do things. I have come to set you all free. And through his ministry and through these healings and this very significant healing right here with this woman, he is saying love and compassion, those come first and those are holy. And so right now I'm going to ask you to turn towards the table, to this juice and this bread, to pour the juice into the cups, to break the bread. And I'm going to ask you to do a bit of a vulnerable thing. I want you to talk about compassion, love, maybe where you've gotten stuck in the rules and missed the people or the things in front of you. Tell stories of where God opened your eyes to that. Or maybe tell stories or desires of how your presence can offer healing to people that you come in contact with your daily lives. So have those conversations as we eat and we drink.